Good morning. I'm going to invite you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to begin reading there in just one moment. Romans chapter 6. While you're turning there, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. What a privilege and a blessing it is to be able to come into the presence of God and His people this morning, to worship Him together, to honor Him for sending His Son to die on a cross for us, and to learn more about what His will is for us. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. That passage is a wonderful passage. It's a beautiful passage, and it helps us understand something very important about our walk in this world. It helps us understand that the moment, the time, the event at which we are saved by the blood of Jesus is when we are baptized in water for the forgiveness of our sins. Paul describes that in this passage. He says, just as Jesus was buried in the grave, so also we are buried in the water as a symbol of what He did. And just as Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later and had new life, He lived again. So we too, when we are buried in water and when we rise from the waters of baptism, we have new life as well. When a person rises from that water, their sins have been washed away. They have a new life because those old sins, that old self, was crucified with Christ. Those old sins, that list of grievances that God had against us, it is wiped away, it is done away forever, and we have new life. We are freed from sin, saved from eternal death, and given the hope that we will live with God forever. But I want you to also take note of what happens in verse 8. After Paul describes what happens and how when we are baptized, that is the moment we are freed from our sins and the consequences of our sins, he says this in verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. And there's a statement about our hope, right? We know we've died with Christ. We know we've put away those sins. Those sins have been washed away. And we believe that because of that, one day we will live with Him. One day. Not today. But someday in the future, one day, we will live with Him. And that small verse points to a very important truth. That even after we've been baptized and even after we've been saved and our sins have been washed away, even though we've set our sights and our hopes on the life that is to come, we still live on in this world. Spiritually, everything has changed. We're adopted into God's family. All of these wonderful things happen, but physically, much remains the same, doesn't it? Even though I've been baptized, I still have to live in a corrupt and a fallen world. Even though I've been baptized, I still have to experience the pains, the aches, and the troubles that come with life here on earth. Even though I've been baptized, there are still those bad habits that I fostered and that I created when I lived my life of sin, when I was a captive of Satan. I created these bad habits and these bad patterns of behavior that I've got to undo and find some way to overcome. Even though we've been baptized, we still live on in this flesh. And we still experience temptation. We still feel that pull towards sin. And brothers and sisters, that is no easy thing. It is not easy to live on in this flesh and feel that inner conflict, to feel that intense battle that rages within us on one hand where we want so badly to serve God and do what is right, and on the other hand, we still feel that very strong desire to do what is wrong and to sin. I want you to turn over one page to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, because here at the end of this chapter, Paul himself talks about what this inner battle feels like. He talks about how when we live on in this flesh, there is still this intense conflict that happens inside each and every one of us who have been saved by Christ. He says this in verse 19. Read what he says there. Romans 7 in verse 19. And remember, this is the apostle Paul himself speaking. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? So in those verses, Paul describes that inner conflict that every Christian experiences. That conflict between those two desires, the desire to serve God and live for Jesus, and also the fleshly desire to sin. And Paul says this conflict is so intense that he calls himself a wretched man. Understand, that word wretched, it doesn't mean evil, it doesn't mean wicked. That word wretched means miserable or unfortunate. And that's what he says he is. He says in this area of his life, obviously, Paul was a joyful man. He had the joy of Christ. That is true and established in other places. But when it comes to this, he says, I'm miserable. This is misery. Because what I want more than anything else is to be free from this body that desires sin. I don't want to live in this flesh anymore and have to experience this pull towards sin and Satan. Who will set me free from these sinful desires? Paul hates that inner conflict. And brothers and sisters, I think we all do too. I think every single one of us know exactly what that feels like. We know what it feels like where on the inner man, because of what we've committed to, because of what we read in the Bible, we know that we want to serve God and we want to do what is right, but we still feel that pull towards sin. I don't know what that conflict looks like for you. It looks different for each and every one of us at different phases of our life, but we all know what that feels like. We know that misery of wanting nothing more to serve God when there's another part of us that wants sin. What I want you to understand this morning is that Paul does not write this passage because he wants you to throw him a pity party, or he wants you to throw yourself a pity party. He doesn't want us to sit around and commiserate about how awful it is or how hard it is to live on in this flesh while we have the hope of heaven. What he does is he speaks to this because this is a common experience for all disciples, and he wants to speak some truth into this struggle. He wants us to understand that there are some encouraging things that we can hold on to as we fight our flesh. And so this morning I want to give you three things. Three things that Paul gives us in Romans chapter 8. Three things to encourage you as you battle your flesh, as you experience that conflict between flesh and spirit. Look with me into Romans chapter 8, and I want you to see this, that Paul wants to encourage us in this battle. And the first thing he does to encourage us is say this, that you need to know this inner conflict is not a sign of condemnation. You need to know this inner conflict is not a sign that you have been condemned or that you're doing something wrong. Listen to what he says in verse 1, Romans 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so Paul begins Romans chapter 8 by saying, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, you ought to know that there are some people who misunderstand and who misconstrue that statement. There are some people who walk around saying, you know what that means? It means that somebody who has been baptized, somebody who has been saved by Christ, can never be unsaved. They can never lose their salvation. They can never fall from grace. And that's what some people believe that means. You need to know that's not what that means. In fact, there are other Bible passages like Galatians 5 and verse 4 which say very clearly that there are some Christians who have been severed from Christ and have fallen from grace. That's not what he means. In fact, he adds a pretty important clarification in verse 4 where he says that those who are in Christ are not just those who have been baptized, but those who what? Those who walk according to the Spirit. So he is not saying that Christians cannot fall from grace. But what Paul is doing here is he's offering encouragement to any Christian who understands what he feels like and what he describes in Romans chapter 7. He's writing to Christians who feel that intense internal conflict, and he wants them to know there is no condemnation for you, even though you still wrestle with sinful desires. He wants to make sure that Christians know that just because you wrestle with temptation, that does not mean you're messed up. And just because you feel these intense desires to sin, it does not mean that you are still broken. It does not mean that you have not been saved. It does not mean that you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. And it does not mean that you're doing something wrong. You need to know there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, even if you feel a desire to sin. I think that's an important thing to say, don't you? Because that's what we tend to think. That's one lie that the devil likes to tell us. He wants to tell you that your struggle with sin is a sign of your condemnation. It's a sign that you aren't right with God. It's a sign that you haven't done it right, that you haven't really been saved, or that you're too messed up to actually end up making it to heaven. He wants you to think that real Christians, the real genuine ones, they don't struggle with sin like you do. They don't struggle with temptation in the same way that you do. They don't feel, maybe they do a little bit, but their desire to sin is not nearly as intense as yours is because you are messed up. He wants you to think that the very fact that you're tempted is a sign of your condemnation. Now, maybe you're sitting there in the pew and you think, I don't struggle with that at all. And that's fine. This can be a point you can throw away. It was useful for me and it was useful for Paul, so take that for whatever it's worth. But I struggle with that, don't you sometimes? And so we show up for church on Sunday and everyone is dressed to the nines. Everyone smiles. Everyone says, great, when you ask them how they're doing. Everyone looks happy. No one ever talks about their temptations. And if they do talk about their temptation, they never go into detail. And they never concede that it's intense. No one ever comes down for help to the front after the sermon on Sunday, even though we offer an invitation every single Sunday. Everybody seems to be doing great. And so you and I sit back in our pews as we wrestle with these intense desires to sin. We wrestle with temptation in our life. We're fighting the battle of our lives inside of our hearts. And we look at everybody else, they seem to be doing great, and we think, what's wrong with me? The answer to that, Paul says, is nothing. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You may wrestle with temptation, but Christ has set you free. You need to understand you have been set free from the law of sin and death through his cross and through the salvation that you achieved, that you received when you were baptized. Christ has set you free. And I hope you could take great solace in that this morning. There is nothing wrong with you just because you wrestle with temptation. I want you to see that following that, Paul offers a second piece of encouragement. He wants us to know, secondly, not only is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ and who walk according to the Spirit, but he says this. He says, you can win this battle through the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Paul wants to make sure that you understand that just because you live on in the flesh and just because you have sinful desires, it does not mean that you cannot overcome sin. It does not mean that this battle is over and you've already lost. I kind of want to be honest with you. I'm a little irritated and perturbed that I hear Christians, sound Christians, who talk like that. Don't you hear people talk like that, who talk about how sin is just something that's a foregone conclusion, that we're basically destined to sin, or that they may even go so far as to say that we have sinful nature? That is not true. And the Bible does not teach that. You are not sinful by nature. You know what the Bible says? It doesn't say that you were born with sinful flesh. It says that God made man upright, but he has sought out many devices. That's Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29. The Bible says we weren't born to sin. We sin because we choose to sin. You are not sinful by nature, and this battle is not a foregone conclusion that you will lose. Paul wants to make sure you understand that you can win this battle, and you can win it through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you look at this passage and you look at verse 5, he says that really the difference between those who win the battle with sin and those who lose the battle with sin really does come down to the Holy Spirit. It comes down to what our mindset is. He says in verse 5 that there are those who are according to the flesh who set their minds on the flesh. And what that means, brothers and sisters, is that these are people who pay attention to worldly things. They give their time and their attention to worldly things. It means that at the end of the day, when they choose what they're going to do, they listen to what their body says. They listen to what their mind and their intuition says. Setting your mind on the flesh means that you live as our culture tells you to live. That you do what feels right and you live your truth. That at the end of the day, what you're going to do is you're going to do whatever your flesh tells you to do. And so when you set your mind on the flesh, that means that if your flesh tells you to scream at somebody or insult them or cuss them out, that's what you're going to do because that's what feels good. Or if your flesh tells you to gossip about somebody or slander someone or be bitter or hateful towards somebody, then that's what you're going to do because that's your truth. Or if your flesh tells you to be sexually impure, to be stingy with your money, that's what you're going to do because that's what feels good. That's what feels right. That's what your body tells you you ought to do. Paul says some people set their minds on the flesh, which means they let their mind and their body rule their lives. Paul says this kind of lifestyle is hostile to God. And it's hostile to God because what it does is it dethrones him. It is opposed to God because God is the one who is supposed to be in control of our lives. He is supposed to be our king. And when I say I'm going to listen to my body and my mind and my choice, what I'm telling him is, you don't get to be king, I'm king instead. He says it's hostile to God. And he says ultimately this lifestyle is death. But he says there's a different kind of person, not somebody who sets their mind on the flesh, but somebody who sets their mind on the Spirit. And what that means is, this is the kind of person who says, I don't care what my body says, I don't care what I think is best with my own intuition and my own wisdom. What I care about is what God says is best, and I'm going to live my life according to what His Spirit has said in His Word. Those who set their mind on the Spirit are the people who listen to the Word of God and tell themselves, no matter what I think, no matter what I feel, I'm going to do what this says. I'm going to give my subjection and my submission to the words of the Spirit. And so if the Spirit tells me to be sexually pure, then that's what I'm going to do, despite what I want or how I feel. And if the Spirit tells me to let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from me, then I'm going to put it away, even if I'm not ready to be done being mad at you yet. And if the Spirit tells me to turn the other cheek when somebody slaps me in the face, that's what I'm going to do. Because even though that feels wrong to me, the Spirit says it's right. You need to understand, brothers and sisters, that you can win this war, but you have to choose to be the kind of person who sets your mind on the Spirit. Listen to what Paul writes in verse 9, speaking of those who do choose to stop listening to themselves and to start listening to what God says through His Spirit. Listen to what he says, verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Paul says that through the Spirit, we are able to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Through the Spirit, we are led to become true children of God. Through the Spirit, we're able to find life and peace. You need to understand that you may feel this internal battle between sin and God, but you need to know that you can win that war. That it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be comfortable, and it's not always going to be smooth. But if you choose to be the kind of person who puts your life, who stakes your life on the Word of God and the power of His Spirit, then you can win this battle with your flesh. You need to understand that He is the key to this. That you need to know Him. You need to trust Him. You need to heed Him. I think we need to understand that winning this battle is not complicated. And sometimes we make it far too complicated. When we think about our desires, when we think about our addictions, when we think about what we want in this life and overcoming our flesh, sometimes we think we need a therapist or a psyche eval or a life coach if we're going to win our battle and we're going to overcome. That's not what you need. The only thing you really need to overcome and to win this battle is to lean all your weight on the Holy Ghost. You need to make that choice today, that you are going to set your mind on the Spirit and not on your flesh. And if you choose to do that, you will win this battle. I hope that's a comfort and an encouragement to you. But this is what I want to let you know finally. This third piece of encouragement that Paul offers is this. Paul wants you to know, and he wants you to remember, that one day this battle against sin will be over. That one day you're not going to have to fight this fight anymore. Back at the beginning of chapter 7, the end of chapter 7, the beginning of the sermon, Romans 7, verse 24, Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death?" And he responds to that question by saying, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin." Paul says, "I want somebody to set me free. I don't want to feel this conflict anymore. I don't want to feel this push and pull inside of me, this pull of the flesh towards sin. Who's going to set me free from this?" He says, Jesus will. Jesus is the one who will set us free from this body of death. And to be clear, he is not talking about how Christ cleanses us from our sins in the waters of baptism. And we know that because in chapter 7, Paul is talking about what life is like as a Christian, not what life is like before being a Christian. No, Paul is talking about a more glorious hope. He's talking about how one day, through Christ, we will be set free from this corrupt body. That one day we will no longer have to fight the flesh in its lust. One day we will be changed and renewed and transformed forever. Consider what Paul writes later in Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 18 through 23. Listen to what he says here. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Paul concedes in those verses that this present time is full of suffering, that even those who are in Christ suffer, maybe especially those who are in Christ suffer. He tells us that in this flesh we may groan and we may feel and we may understand that wretchedness that Paul talks about, that misery of wanting to serve God but also wanting sin at the same time. But Paul wants to make sure we understand that this is not permanent, that one day the battle will be over. One day the sons of God will be revealed. One day our adoption will be finalized. One day we will be set free from corruption. Interestingly, that is not to say that we will be freed from our bodies altogether. Consider what Paul writes in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18. He makes sure we understand that it is not that we are going to be set free from our bodies and we are going to live as disembodied spirits. The promise is not that we will be free from our body, but that we, our bodies, will be changed, will be glorified, will be transformed. Listen to what he says, Philippians 3, verse 18. He says, for many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. That's the people who set their minds on the flesh. In Romans 8. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Paul says, one day we will be changed. We will be transformed forever. One day we will meet Jesus in the air. The sons of God will be adopted. Our bodies will be redeemed. We will be changed. And this battle that we feel every day will finally be over. And praise God through Jesus for that. Brothers and sisters, I am a wretched man. I thought about beginning the sermon with that statement, but I didn't feel like it would hit. But I am a wretched man. I love God. I want to please him. I believe in Jesus, and I know that I ought to serve him. Yet at the same time, I also cannot shake off the desires that want to pull me away from him. I can't get free of those. And sometimes that is hard. And sometimes that can even be miserable when the battle is particularly intense. And honestly, today, I hope you're wretched people too. Because the truth is, the only way to escape that strain, the only way to escape that misery of that battle between your flesh and your spirit, the only way to escape that is to give in and give up and just let the flesh rule. That's the only way to get away from it while we're here on this earth. But if you are in Christ, if you walk by the Spirit, if you feel that strain as you try every day, as you strive every day to win this battle with your flesh, then I don't think there's anything more comforting and encouraging to know that this is not going to last forever. That one day, Christ will set you free from this body of death. He will change you forever. And you will always be with the Lord. And I pray that as you battle temptation, as you wrestle with your flesh, you'll always remember that this battle is temporary and that one day Christ will set you free. We begin our lesson in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 talks about baptism. You know, how it talks about how if we believe in Christ, we repent of our sins, and if we're buried with him in baptism, then we will rise to walk in newness of life. You need to understand that only those people who have followed that step, only those people who have been conformed to the death of Jesus Christ by being buried in baptism, only those people have the hope of salvation. They're the only ones who have the hope of meeting Jesus in the air and being transformed forever into his glory. And so maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never become a Christian. You've never started that battle between your flesh and your spirit. You've never been saved from your sins. If you want the hope, the expectation, the promise that you will spend forever with God and Jesus and his spirit and the saints in eternity, then please come to the front and do something about that now while we stand and while we sing.